Redemption, the act, process, or an instance of redeeming. Redeem, to buy back, repurchase, restore, reform, repair. To remove the obligation of payment, to exchange for something of value. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7.
Broken and poured out for the love of his creation. God prayed and
well, thanks for joining us for another episode of Redemption, my now favorite show. And I absolutely love this program because we get an opportunity to hear real life stories of how somebody's life was changed because of and for Jesus Christ. And today my guest is a new friend, Eddie Collin. Eddie, how are you?
I'm very good, Ken. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thank you so much for taking your time to spend it with us and let us get to know you a little bit, man, and get to know your story. And I know it's a good one because Eddie, I will talk about this and we'll talk about it more later on, but Eddie has written a book that's kind of his life story. And it is not short of intensity. There's some stuff going on in your life, man, that was just major and traumatic, and the way it's overcome is through the blood of Christ. And I love to hear the redemption, and that's what we'll talk about now. So tell us, and I am going to let you talk a lot about the book here in a little bit too, because I really want our people to check it out. But
okay, Ken.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about you, man? Tell us about where you come from and, you know, your childhood. What did it look like to develop into the Eddie Collin you are now?
Well, Kent, I was born and raised in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and the eighth of eight children. And I came in the United States when I was about 16 years old. And, of course, you've heard of Haiti. It's a pretty tough place to grow up in, and most people are pretty poor. And but God allowed me to end up here in the States, and I made a life for me out here. And at one point, I kind of got lost, and I got lost, and I ended up with doing a lot of cocaine. And kind of took a bad turn, and to God, he obviously he allowed me to stay where I was for so long, and when it was time, he pulled me out. But at one point, Ken, I felt that I couldn't take it anymore, and I had my gun in my hand ready to take my life. And through a divine intervention, the Holy Spirit touched me at that moment, and I felt that I needed to make a call instead of pulling the trigger. And there's a church here called Heritage Christian Center, and that's the only thing that kept coming to my mind that I needed to call there. And I had no number for the church, and so I hit 1411, and guided by the Holy Spirit, and somehow I got the number, and immediately I asked for the whoever was on duty, the pastor that was on duty, and the pastor got on the phone and knew what was taking place, and I asked her to pray for me, and she asked for God's divine light to get around me, and instead of pulling the trigger, and instantly I was pretty much saved, because it was a bullet or divine intervention, and God has a way of doing things. I don't always understand, but I wouldn't be here today had it not been for that.
Wow. When let me ask you to back up a little bit and tell us kind of what maybe led to you going down that wrong path. I mean, what was your growing up in Port-au-Prince? What was that life like? I know it can be tough, but I also know that it's a really spiritually diverse but active place. What, I mean, what's that like? What's your family look like in Haiti?
My family is a lot of them are all over the world now, and most of them aren't in Haiti anymore. But when I was growing up, I didn't know anything about drugs. I lived there till I was 16 years old, and it was Haiti is one of the drug capitals. I never really saw it until I came to the United States, and I met some folks that had asked me to try once, and from there it just went to a lot of usage and dealing and so it's not the place where it comes from. It's just where it ends up, and the lives that it's gonna affect, and it got to me to the point where I, even though I'm a businessman, I have daily things that I needed to do, that I still was performing my duties, but that's from previous nights of being up, no sleep, and making decisions that are affecting lives pretty much daily, and with that in my system. And can't think back what has taken place, but God right now is using it for good.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you, I mean, before you came to know who Christ was, I mean, that time you were about to take your life, did you know about Christ? I mean, did you have?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted
to
know. I mean, you had a foundation?
I did know about Christ, and I was raised Catholic. I had to go to church, but I didn't truly know Christ. I just knew that I had to go to church, and that was something that's required to do. But as far as being on a personal relationship with Christ and truly understand what it's all about, I didn't know any of that. And I have developed a relationship with Christ now, to where I truly understand, Ken, what the death was about, why he came, there's a lot of lost people out there, and the only way they're gonna end up making something, a decision to where they can have get to know Christ, is to sometimes God will allow us to stay in a certain place, but we don't understand it. But when in the end, it's for his purpose that he allows certain things to take place. As bad as certain things are sometimes, I wish I could take it all back. If I could take it all back today, I would, but I know that Christ has taken care of all of it for me, and I accept it 100%. And now my mission is to share my story of where I was, because I got to a place that was so bad, and it was really, really, really bad. Decisions I was making, I know I was not making them with a clear mind, but eventually God will reach in and pull us out when we can't take it anymore.
Right. There's no question that he intervenes, man. And sometimes it's at a place where we, you know, there was no other way. And I can hear that in your story too. I mean, you were about to do the ultimate, you know, take God into your own hands, or take life into your own hands kind of thing, and make that decision for yourself. And that's where God intervened in your life, and in a mighty way. And you weren't, I mean, for our listeners too, and I want you to go into where, you know, I know the book will talk about this a bit. I mean, you were heavy into this drug. I mean, this thing was consuming you.
I would start doing drugs. Once you do the first line of cocaine, there's no going back. There's absolutely no going back. It's a nightly thing. On a daily basis, I'm at work, and no one knew that I was doing it. Not my friends, except for the surroundings that were doing it with me. Right. But other than that, nobody knew. And we're people walking around us daily that are involved with that drug, but you don't know. But eventually, it will take your life. I have lost about 4 friends to the drug. Mm. And some of them that I didn't get a chance to, the change had not taken place in my life to have told them who Jesus was and let them know how he rescued me. And today, there are still a few of them I'm trying to get to, and they can see the change in my life, and they ask me, and then I try to share the gospel with them and let them know what he's done in my life. But they can see the difference in me, but the devil's so powerful, he's still pulling them. And I've prayed for them, I have to keep them in my prayer, and let them know it's the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah. There's no question. He is he's actively trying to get you, no doubt. Did people around you? Obviously, there was a depression there also, as a result of the drug or other life circumstances that maybe all relate back to that drug. But did the people around you start to see the depression, or were you masking that also?
Well, it was pretty well masked, and it was masked, and people could see me, and they never knew that I did it. And that's just the danger of the drug. You do it, and of course you're not thinking with a straight mind and things that you would do with a clear mind as I do today on the drug. It's not the same. You do things just to please you. The selfish nature emerged pretty strongly, one of the things that we must learn to do is get rid of that selfish nature, and with the drug, it's not going to take place. We need Christ to do that.
Right. Absolutely, man. Were you, it's such a fragile territory to go into, but I mean, you obviously you had a gun. I mean, is this something you had been contemplating over time?
No, never ever have I thought that until that day. It just hit me like a ton of brick, and that was the only thing that I had a lot of pressure financially and family things going on, and got to, of course, I created my own problems with the drugs, but I never could see it until that point. And I remember nights that I would be on my knees. I'm begging God to pull me out of it. I'm begging God, sobbing, crying, and asking him to pull me out of it. I did not want to do the next line. And amazingly, the devil's so powerful. He has a way of influencing us to do things, but now that I have completely surrendered to Christ, it is a whole almost like 360 degree from inside out. The thoughts aren't not even part of my mind set anymore. The process is just not even there; it's gone.
Hmm. Man, oh man. And then when you're at that point and you felt that that God was intervening, what was that like? Did you, when the word Heritage came to mind, was that something, had you been familiar with Heritage? Did God just, say, hey man, call somebody? I mean, was that what?
That was the moment when I felt that, something made me. Heritage is not something I was thinking of. When I mentioned a divine intervention took place in my book, and I felt it, it's I have a gun in my hand and I'm ready to take my life, and something from deep within says, call Heritage Christian Center right now. Wow. And, you know, so what I did, I didn't even have the number. I just hit 1411, and something tells me, call 1411. So I dialed that. And it guided me to the point, the minute somebody entered the phone, after I got the number, I asked for a pastor because I needed somebody to pray for me.
Wow. Wow, man. So let's fast forward to where God, you know, God is using you in a mighty way now, because you have a way to really impact people's lives.
Yes.
You've experienced not only some terrible tragedy in life and a terrible addiction, but a real presence of God, you know, that a lot of people long for that kind of a moment, and they certainly don't want to encounter God in a situation. Well, they don't want to be in a situation like that to encounter God. But
right.
they're thankful, obviously, when it happens. With that, you know, what is God using you for now? You kind of touched on it, how you can, your mission is to move forward and be able to share
my mission,
with people. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My mission is to start traveling with the book and tell my story. Whatever I need to do, I will start traveling with this book and let people know that there is another way, and try to bring God into people's lives through this story. And I know the places where I can start, and that is my goal. Because having been there, I know how it all works. And so with this insight, I think I can reach people because I was there.
Hmm. How can people get a hold of your book, man?
It's at Barnes and Nobles, and it's at all the Christian bookstores. And if there's a link to YouTube that actually gives a 1-minute video trailer of the book, and very inspirational. And I also link you to where you can get to the book, to the sites to get the book.
Well, and that whole process of writing the book too is pretty miraculous. You had some people that came alongside you and helped you get this thing going, right?
Well, I did. I was the manager at a car dealership, and when I felt that I needed to write this book, God told me I needed to write this book. I quit my job for a couple of months to get the bulk of it done. And I called my boss and let him know that I was on a spiritual journey. I needed to do this. I hope he understood. And he was upset at first, and then later on he let me know that he understood. In fact, he's one of the people that has the book. He's one of the first people that went in the book. But I didn't have a computer, so I was writing everything by hand until my computer was up and running. And the fun thing is that God provided everything I needed for the book. And when I didn't have a computer, somebody took care of it for me. When I felt the book was about to be ready, I sold my car so I could get the money to get the things that needed to be done with the book. And I figured if I needed to catch the bus, so be it. But right. I believe in this book so strongly that I was willing to get rid of my only form of transportation so I could get that done. I felt like I was on a mission that I needed to get done right now. Time was running out. Because there are a lot of people that need this book. I believe that. And timing is everything. I lost about 2-3 friends already. And so every second that goes by that someone has not seen the story is possibility of somebody doing something like I was about to do. But even the lady that did my editing with the book for me, she I pulled her out of the yellow pages when I needed somebody to, I didn't know anything about publishing a book. I just opened the yellow pages and the person that I picked was a Christian lady. And that's how God led me to someone. And she met with me and took all the paperwork and she said, I'm going to read it and let you know if it's worthy of publishing. And she called me later on and asked me how long had I been writing. And I told her I don't. She says, wow. She says, I will go on this journey with you. And she went ahead and pretty much did everything that would have cost thousands for nothing.
That is awesome, man. I haven't mentioned the title yet, and I should, because we want people to be able to get the book. So the book is called My Struggles, My Bondage, and My Freedom and Deliverance. And it's by Eddie Collin, one L and one N, and no S. Eddie, E-D-D-Y, Collin, C-O-L-I-N. And you said, gosh, Barnes & Noble and everything. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a Barnes & Noble right now.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. I'm so happy for you, and I'm happier for the people who can get the book and read the story, and their lives can be touched. Because I think that you've got a wonderful position that God's given you now to use to truly make a difference for people, and the ultimate difference, right? That they get to know who the Savior is.
Yes.
Well, that's cool. And now you're back in the car business, right? You're back managing cars while you're trying to get your book going and get this thing moving. So
yes, it's a good thing. The person that I was before I found Christ in the car business is a whole different man now that I have Christ in my life, because the way I used to do things, they weren't totally the way to do things.
Yeah.
And I found a way to do things that is so pleasing and it is so honest and where there are no gray areas anymore.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to be saved having Christ in your life. You feel at peace. You don't have the stress because you know ultimately He's in charge of everything.
That's right, man. Amen to that. Well, I will tell the listeners, though, get Eddie's book because we want to get him out of the car business because God's got bigger plans for him. So make sure you go help him. you know, Eddie, I'm in the same business, man, and it demands our time, and it's a great mission field. There's no question about that. But I know that God can move us in bigger ways outside of this business also. So again, I just want to tell listeners, go to Barnes & Noble and pick up a copy of My Struggles, My Bondage, and My Freedom and Deliverance by Eddie Collin. And I know you'll be blessed. It's a great read, and it's the real deal, man. There's no holds barred in this book. And as you can hear, Eddie sharing his story, you know, there's no gray area for him now, and there's nothing hidden from what he's gone through in his story. This is a very powerful testimony for sure. Eddie, man, I'm so happy for you, and I'm so glad that that God's got you right where He wants you, and He's using you in just an incredible way. It's so cool.
It is a good place to be, Kent. It is a good place to be.
Yeah, and I'm glad to know you, my new friend Eddie Collin, everybody. So, all right, man. You and I will do more. We'll do more stuff.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what it is yet, but whatever God's got in store for us, we'll do it, man. And I just
okay.
We'll try and do everything we can to help sell some books and get you out on the road to preach the good news, my friend.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you for your time, bro. Have a good night.
Okay. All right. God bless you.
God bless you. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Redemption, right here on Radio 323. Join us every Sunday at 7 for stories of victory through Jesus Christ. And remember, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, Ephesians 1:7. Join us again next week, right here on Radio323.com. He gave us all He had to give, so that we could truly live. So let's give all we have to Him, so that we can be completely free. Yeah.
thorns on his brow as they drove the nails into his hands and his feet. He looked past the moment to where we are now and gave us the victory from what seemed his defeat. He said, "Here's my body. It's broken in two. Here is my blood. Let it cover you. All that I have is now yours to receive. Payment in full so that you can be free. What he gave us all, he had to..."